You're listening to an edited version of the live Voices of Montana statewide radio program. Find us on Facebook and subscribe for further podcasts wherever you get your audio on demand. I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program. Thanks for joining us, and please feel free to contact me at studio@voicesofmontana.com.
My guest today is former U.S. Congressman from Montana, former Interior Secretary of Montana, Ryan Zinke. And Ryan is certainly a guy that many of you know. He's a guy that was raised in the Whitefish area, graduated Whitefish High School, and then went to Oregon and played football out there at Oregon and at the university, and then also went quite a term in the service to the military. He spent 23 years in the United States Navy from 1985 to 2008. And in that capacity, if you know the story of Ryan Zinke, he excelled in the SEAL program, leading elite Navy SEAL operations around the world, including one period where he was the deputy and acting commander of joint forces in Iraq. And he retired with the rank of commander. And then, of course, I served with Ryan in the state legislature in Montana from 2009 to 2012. That's where we got acquainted. And he was the first SEAL then elected to the U.S. House or to the presidential cabinet. So a treat to have Ryan on with us today. And Ryan, good morning. Thanks for joining us today.
Great to be with you. You know, and I miss that melodic voice of yours. I love hearing your voice on radio.
Well, I enjoy it too, but I like it better here than some other places. It is fun to have you here, Ryan, and I'm going to come back in just a moment. We got one quick break to take here. Then I want to come back and talk about your latest venture. After spending a couple years in private consulting, Ryan Zinke has filed for Montana's congressional district. Let's ask him about that as Voices of Montana continues. He is a professional soldier by trade. Ryan Zinke spent 23 years in the United States Navy as a SEAL, then served 4 years in Montana State Senate, and was elected as a Republican to the 114th Congress, representing Montana from January 2015 till March of 2017. When he resigned at the request of then-President Donald Trump to serve as Secretary of the Interior on the Trump cabinet. And it is a treat to have you on the phone today. Taylor Brown sitting in today as your guest host, interviewing Ryan Zinke. And Ryan, first of all, I suppose we better just catch people up on the last couple of years. You've been on the program a few times over the years, but catch us up on what's been going on with the Zinke family here in the last couple of years since you got back from Washington.
Well, you know, my blood pressure was down. I'm back in reasonable shape. I'm a better cook. I saw my family. I fixed fences and straightened barns. And I have most of my sense of humor back. Not all, but most. Well, when they talk about D.C. being the swamp, it gives swamp a bad name. It's a cesspool. Just call it. But, you know, I never thought I'd say this, Taylor. But what we face today, you know, the greatest threat facing our country is not Russia. It's not China. It's not even the terrorist regime of Iran. I think the greatest threat facing this country is the deep divisions within. And unless we figure out, you know, how to stand tall and protect the Constitution, because the Constitution is the foundation. But it's protecting the Constitution and learning to work together. Because we need to work together, and the Constitution is the document that forces both sides to work together. Look, we have some big challenges facing this country, but we can't do it from one side of the aisle. We're going to have to work together as Americans, because you know we're blowing through money like it never before. You know, $6 trillion, and what do we get for it? We haven't addressed homelessness. We haven't addressed education. We might address infrastructure, but at a great cost, because we're spending too much. Our budget's out of control. Our border is virtually open. There's a lot of problems. But look, we got to rise as an American people. And I think what's ahead of us is we got to get the majority back and stop the onslaught on the Constitution. So I'll do my duty. I'm not a big fan of Washington, D.C. When I was secretary, I tried to push as much authority as I could back to Montana, back to the states, back to communities, especially on wildlife and resource management. But look, we're America. We're a strong country. Let's take a deep breath and let's solve the problems together.
But Ryan, I'll tell you, fixing divisions like that or starting to address divisions like that, that requires a lot of personal sacrifice. That requires people standing up and doing the right thing for the right reasons. And what's the incentive to in this era right now to sacrifice personally? Why not just take what the government gives you? I think it's a difficult thing to do what you're suggesting.
Well, never yield the pressure, only a higher principle. But I do think our republic is at risk. And again, you know, look at the momentum, what's going on. They're after the Constitution. You know, in Montana, you know, both you and I have Democrat friends, we have Republican friends, we have Libertarian friends. You know, our friends are not looking through a lens of either blue or red, right? We're Montanans. And Montanans have, you know, we're one state, we're going to get two seats, but it should be one mission. And that mission is to make sure that the West has a voice, that we strong message that we're going to have to work together. And it doesn't mean you're compromising the Constitution. You know, those of us who've served and you've served, and one of the oaths of office is you give an oath to the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. That's the oath of office that the military uses. That's the oath of office when you take a public office, whether it's in the House or cabinet, or when you're in the state house or state senate. So within the framework of the Constitution, let's work together and solve these problems. You know, Montana can lead the way. And, you know, historically, you know, Taylor, there's only been three times that I can think of that Montana really has made a political difference. And you go back, the first time was Senator Clark, the copper baron. You know, because you go back and Senator Clark was elected by the legislature.
Right.
Because at the time, the senators were. And it's purported, by the way, that the day that Senator Clark was elected, there was a new $100 bill in everyone's pocket.
Money over the transom.
Yep. Well, and his statement was he never bribed a man who didn't take it. But also Mark Twain called Senator Clark a most despicable man. But because of his greed, we got the 17th Amendment, which means the senators are now elected by state as a whole. And had the 17th Amendment not been put in place, you know, we would have a far different makeup of the Senate today. And I think the money that's in the Senate races, hundreds of millions of dollars get thrown around, you know, largely from out of state, especially if you're Montana.
Okay, what are the other two times when Montanans have made a difference?
Was Donald J. Trump. When you remember in the primary, it was Trump and Cruz. And all of a sudden, Montana, because we have a late primary, our little delegation made a difference. And the president asked me, what do I have to do to win Montana? I said, look, you got to come out to Montana, fly your airplane around, land in Billings, and show you know where Montana is. And if you do that, I'll endorse you. You're going to win Montana. If you don't, I don't know whether they're going to win or not. Cruz had a better ground game. So the president came out, he won, and that began the American First Movement on policies. And lastly, all of a sudden, we have two seats, one state, one mission, and that's to gain the majority back to stop this onslaught in the Constitution and this woke movement and basically hollow out the values that have made this country great, self-determination. So Montana has a third shot. Let's make sure that Montana sends a strong voice to Washington, D.C. The West cares. We care. West makes a difference. And, you know, working together like Montanans do, that's a good model for the rest of the country.
Well, you know, that's what they say, that adversity brings opportunity, and I don't know when we'll ever have more. Yeah. Let's talk more with Ryan Zinke. He's on Voices of Montana Today. I'm Taylor Brown, serving as your guest host today, and we're talking with Ryan Zinke, who, by the way, has recently filed to run for Montana's congressional seat. We'll discuss that with him and continue our conversation in a moment. You're listening to Voices of Montana, the statewide daily talk show heard every weekday since 1998. Voices of Montana is a service of the Northern News Network, which provides state news and sports and weather across the state. I'm Taylor Brown, sitting in today as a guest host for Tom Schultz. And on the phone, our guest today is Ryan Zinke, former Secretary of the Interior, former U.S. Congressman representing Montana. And now that we know for sure that we will have another congressional seat, which we haven't had for quite a few years, but of course did have once before. Now nobody knows the boundaries of that district, and we won't know, Ryan, probably for months yet. So here you are filing to start running for a place you don't even know where you're going to be. But talk a little about that process. That must be a little uncertain.
Well, it's, you know, one state. And, you know, my family goes on each side of the state, and I kind of tongue-in-cheek say, you know, I speak fluent East and West Montana. And there are differences, but there are a lot more commonality. I mean, the issues of the sage grouse on the east side are very similar to the issues of the grizzly bear on the west. It's wildlife management. And you look at, you know, the CMR when the fires occurred, and we had the CMR open for grazing within a matter of hours, as you know, unprecedented for Bureau of Land Management, but we did. And quite frankly, the ground is much healthier after having a little grazing on it. So on the districts, you know, I'd like to see it kind of go east-west Shriners game, you know, because I played in the Shriners game. I think Montana's pretty comfortable with that. But we'll see. I've seen some.
And that's what it was before. Of course, that's what it was before.
Well, I've seen massive grizzly versus bobcat. I think at the end of the day, Montana will smell gerrymandering unless it makes sense. And I would say east and west, you know, makes sense. But as long as we work together as one state, you know, there's so much division, you know, in D.C. You know, people are no longer debating; they're arguing. And we need to get back to civilized debate, bring up all points, and then make the best decision. And make the best decision, you know, based on the Constitution, but also on what helps people, right? Because ultimately, the American experiment of opportunity and self-determination, that's the core. But I'm hoping that the commission, I think they take their job seriously. I think, you know, Montana has a commission, so they're going to look at it. We'll get the census data back in September on specific towns and where the population is, and we'll divide the state into two districts. I'm hoping the districts don't smell gerrymandering, but I think the commission, you know, takes their job seriously. Well, at the end of the day, you know, we won't draw enclaves for, you know, favoring one side or another. I think Montana is pretty comfortable with it east and west, whether it's Grizz or Bobcats or Shriners game or.
Well, we will
continental divide in there.
We will stay on top of that.
We'll figure it out.
We'll continue to stay on top of that process as it goes forward, and we have been. But regardless, it doesn't change your main point, and that is that the biggest challenge, the biggest threat facing us now is the division. And we've got just the exact opposite. We've got a Democrat-controlled Congress and a Democrat-controlled White House. So they have the run of things in Washington. And in Montana, we've got a Republican-controlled legislature and a Republican administration. And it seems like in both cases, neither side has much time to spend listening to the other. It's like, yes, we're pretty close, especially in the national level. We're only a few thousand votes away from being 50-50. But even so, it doesn't seem like people have much inclination, the ones in charge, to listen to the other side.
Well, and this is where, you know, as a Montana congressman, we represent Montana, and now it'll be two districts. You not only represent the people that voted for you, but you also represent the people that didn't vote for you. You represent the people that will never vote for you. And that's part of the obligation. You don't learn a lot talking. You learn a lot listening. And, you know, we do need to solve immigration. You know, I like the Ron DeSantis to go step by step by step, but you got a lot of people that follow the rules, that filled out all the forms, that are waiting in line, you know, for a work visa, and they do everything right. So we need to clear that deck with work visas and get that line, you know, operative. I was watching last night where Senator Lankford is down the border, and people are coming across the border within a couple hours, they're processed, they're given a date, sometimes 3 or 4 years, you know, in the future. At some court date, we know that, you know, 94% or so don't show up for that date anyway. So, you know, basically we have an open border. And you can't have a country without a border. know, I appreciate people coming in that want to work, that want to be a part of the American experience. I appreciate that. But I also want to make sure that our borders are secure, that we know who's in this country. And that should be a goal of everyone. And I do think the opposite side of the aisle is being led by progressives. They're being poorly led. I don't think America's socialist. I don't think my Democrat friends are socialist. They might be liberal, but they're not socialist. So we need America to take a deep breath. Let's understand why we're a great country. Yeah, we've made mistakes. But in Montana, you know, when the doors broke, you on a barn, you don't burn down the barn. You fix the door. And so we have problems in this country. Let's fix the door. Let's fix the windows. But let's not burn down our country doing it.
Ryan, I'm going to bring back after this break. I want to catch up on today's news with Brian Bennett. We'll take a quick trip around the state, what's going on today, and then we'll come back. I want to talk about what it's going to mean to you and Lola personally going through this this next couple of years. On today's program, Taylor Brown serving as your guest host for Voices of Montana. We're talking to Ryan Zinke of Whitefish, Montana, former U.S. Congressman from Montana, former Interior Secretary, and Ryan's telling us why he has thrown his hat in the ring already to run for Montana's congressional race next year in 2022. Ryan, as you do that, I cannot help but think about the impact on your family, on Lola and your three kids and your grandkids. You faced a barrage of adversity there when you were Interior Secretary. And I can't imagine what the attacks will be like the next couple of years. You'll be back working with trackers every day following you around in your personal life. Your thoughts on that and the impact on Lola and the kids?
Well, you know, when I went to D.C., the attacks were vicious. They started on day one. I think I had four lawsuits on my desk by the time I found my desk on day one. You know, I rode a horse in to make a point that the West matters. You know, our voice matters out here. We're kind of forgotten sometimes. But I made a point. But the viciousness of attacks, and I understand that, you know, they were aiming at President Trump, but I was in the front line. And I mean, I went through investigation after investigation. No wrongdoing, by the way, but that's the way they play. They make a false allegation. They demand an investigation. 6 months later, the investigation says no wrongdoing. And look, I got investigated on my socks. My sock.
Yeah.
The flag, you know, Interior has a flag that flies since 1849. It's been in the regulation, you know, and I fought for flags, and flags mean a lot to me. But when it's in the regulation, you fly the flag or you change the regulation. Right. So I'm flying the flag and here's an investigation. But, you know, despite that, we got an enormous amount done. Matter of fact, Secretary Hodel, a good friend, he was a secretary under President Reagan. He said, you know what? Zinke got things done that President Reagan and I thought about, but we never could get it done. And look what we got done. Energy dominance. You know, we went from 8.3 to 12.5. But it's not just oil and gas. It was the largest offshore lease on wind, because quite frankly, I don't want to be held hostage. I spent most of my life overseas fighting for someone's oil. I don't want your kids, I don't want your grandkids ever to see what I've seen overseas. So American energy dominance, and yeah, it was my term, but it means all the above to make sure we're not held hostage and we don't have to send our kids overseas to fight for someone else's energy. The Great American Outdoors Act. That was principal architect. Number one problem was infrastructure. We fixed infrastructure across the parks and the national forests that were falling apart. In Montana, we rebuilt Sperry. We expanded Wilderness. We stopped the mine outside of Yellowstone. So on energy and the environment, nobody got more done, in my estimation, as secretary, because the West matters.
Ryan, we're going to have about. We'll have to go to a break here. I got to go to a break in about 30 seconds. I appreciate your taking time to share some of these things, though. Let me come back after this. I want to get a little bit more into what you think about this rebuilding and this and this overcoming division. It's awful hard with all the free stuff the government's given us in the last year. And if somebody wants to call, we'll take a call. Our phone number here, 866-NBS-LIVE. That's 866-627-5483. If you'd like to talk to Ryan Zinke, we'd appreciate your questions. Keep them brief. We'll try to get you in. This is Voices of Montana. I'm Taylor Brown.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
You're listening to a podcast from the live Voices of Montana radio show. Be sure to check out the full podcast page at voicesofmontana.com for a full listing of all our programs. We've been covering Montana issues for more than 20 years. Thanks for listening today.
We've got just a few minutes left with Ryan Zinke talking about his filing for the Montana's congressional seat next year. Ryan, I wanted to ask you about, I got a couple of callers online here, so I'll ask you to be brief. I rarely get a chance to tell a congressman to be brief. This is awesome. And I'm also going to ask callers the same thing. Be brief and prepared with your questions so we can get to everybody that wants to talk. But Ryan, you talked about the need to rebuild the system, not just the Republican Party. But don't you think Democrats are facing the same thing? How do they rebuild in Montana here? How do they rebuild their system? And my guess is the recipe for both is about the same. What you have to do to rebuild to get past division and what you and I would view as unfair partisanship.
Well, I think Americans and Montanans need to know what's at stake. And I am serious. I think the biggest threat is not Russia, China, or Iran. It's the division within our nation. And unless we rally to the Constitution and learn to work together, I think the republic will fall. I mean, that's the seriousness of what is before us. And so, you know, Montanans have always rallied together. As you know, we have friends on both sides of the aisle. But we need to work together. You know, and working together is getting things done. You know, I'll give you an example on the monument review. You know, I made the papers. But behind the scenes, I don't think a lot of people knew that I was working together with the Nature Conservancy, going to Bears Ears, looking at maps, coordinating the recommended boundary changes on it. By the way, not one square inch of public land left the public land. But when you have a monument, it's about how you manage it. And so proclamations and monument management sometimes can put at risk traditional uses like hunting, fishing, cattle, and those type of things. So, you know, I work with both sides. Yep. And I think as Montanans, we can lead the nation in showing other Americans how it's done. You know, I think when government pushes the power back to the state, where communities have a voice, in Interior was wildlife issues, it was energy issues, letting the state have a say and letting communities have a say.
Ryan,
that's, I think, where you begin.
Ryan, let's hear from a couple of those Montanans. Casey is calling from Great Falls, and he has a question, he says, about military restructuring. Casey, go ahead with your question for Ryan Zinke.
Yeah, the new Secretary of Defense and the new administration is trying to reverse some of the things that Trump did in the military policies, and I have a son that's taking basic and training down in Lackland, and I myself served and went to Vietnam for one tour, and I'm very concerned about the direction that they're trying to take this military policies. My question to him is, what would he do to oppose that type of reset in the military?
Good question.
Well, you know,
Thank you, Casey.
I think the American First policies of President Trump were good. His policies were very much like Reagan on policies. The military's primary focus should be defense of this country. But when the primary focus is political correctness, when they're trying to push an agenda, I don't think America likes it. And I think we have to stand strong and thank you for your service. But the military's job is to defend this country. The military combat troops need to be C1 and fully ready. So they need the right equipment, they need the right training, and they need the right tactics. And those tactics should not be driven on a political agenda or a woke movement. They should be driven by what is necessary to fight and win. period.
Oh, he went away. Okay, let's go then to Roger in Helena. Roger, your thoughts this morning and a question for Brian Zinke.
Okay, I'm pulling over off the road right now.
Good
okay,
idea.
Hey, that's a good idea, Roger.
My question for you, Ryan, is do you think we have reason to be optimistic? And I'm basing this question on two things. One is that the legislature in Florida passed that measure against Facebook and the other large social networks, that they cannot discriminate or else they can be, or cannot, censor or else they can be sued. And so that gives me optimism because Facebook already is starting to change the way they're doing things. And the other thing that gives me optimism is this morning I read that Home Depot, the CEO of Home Depot, along with other businessmen in Atlanta, are suing the Major League Baseball for pulling the game. And I think they're going to win that suit, too. So I see optimism that we're coming against this woke. Do you see optimism?
Well, I do. Look, I love my country. I love my state. I love the people. I don't think America's socialist. But we're going to have to rise. And I am optimistic that America is waking up. You know, the woke movement, I think it's a waking up movement. We're going down the path of socialism, communism, progressive. No, America is built on self-determination. And look, there's an issue that a large percentage of Americans, a significant percentage of Americans, feel like there's a glass ceiling on it. Whether it's right, wrong, true, or false, that's what they perceive. And we, as those that love our country, that understand the greatness of what this country has meant to not only all our people, but the world, are we perfect? No. But we're honorable in the direction of the Constitution. We're honorable in fighting for freedom. And, you know, our values have made this country the greatest opportunity for everybody. And if people perceive that opportunity is not the same for everybody, then we need to work on it. But you work on it through self-determination, hard work, and I want to emphasize hard work, and working together to form a more perfect union.
One more thing, very briefly. I called Bellevue, Idaho, last week, and left messages with their mayor. They're the ones that fired the cop over his video to LeBron James. I called every single official in that city and asked them, where was the GoFundMe page for the legal defense fund for that officer? And I either got an answering machine or stunned silence. So I would encourage everybody else out there, you've got a phone, use it.
Ryan, I want to ask another military question. When you were serving before, I remember one of the biggest challenges we had when you were stepped into Congress was ISIS. And you talked about your experience in dealing as the deputy commander of special forces in Iraq, about dealing with those terrorist groups. What do you how do you think we did in dealing with ISIS? Remember those days they were beheading people and right in front of us with impunity? What's your thoughts as it? Now I'm talking to you as a soldier, I guess. What's your thought on that, thinking about the military?
Well, ISIS was crushed. But I think, you know, worldwide, you have Iran that wants to become Persia again and be the dominant force in the Middle East. You have Russia that wants to reconstitute the former Soviet Union and have the influence over Europe. And, of course, you have China. You have China becoming, you know, a powerhouse in the hemisphere, and I think they have world aspirations. So you see an expansion of that, and oddly enough, I agreed 100% with the president. Get the heck out of Afghanistan. We've lost enough treasure. Let's call for what it is. It, you know, how much does Montana care about Afghanistan? I can tell you, we don't care about it with the tragedy of human life and expenditure we're doing. You know, those neighborhoods, those neighbors over there, they have more at stake than we do in Afghanistan. So I'm 100% behind the president's decision to do that. ISIS, you know, they were punks in the beginning. They're punks now. I'm glad they were defeated. And if they rise again, I'm hoping the United States does precision targeting and eliminates that scourge from the face of the planet.
Well, one thing you might have some help with, you know, you were the first Navy SEAL in Congress, but two more have gotten elected since then. So there may be a few more people think like you do back there. I got to go to one more break here.
Dan Crenshaw is a superstar. he's I know Dan, I support him, but well, you know, he is a young man. He's very articulate. I think he captures kind of where America is a lot of times. And he's just done a great job with that. And there's other SEALs and Special Forces guys that are rallying to the flag. Brian Mast and General Jack. You know, there's a lot of good veterans, both men and female, that want to serve the country. And on 100%, you know, I think sometimes what a veteran brings to the table is we don't look at people as Democrat or Republican. It's red, white, and blue because that's what the military does. I never asked a person whether they're Republican or Democrat next to me. What I cared about is, do you love the country? Are you willing to make the country better? Are you willing to sacrifice and do your job well and help others around you? That's what leadership does, and that's what the military oftentimes brings to the table.
We've got one more commercial break to go here, and then I got a question, Ryan. I'll let you think about it. This came in on the text line. Would you have voted in favor of the congressional investigation into the desecration of our Capitol? Yes or no? No waffling. Okay, so we'll let you come back with a yes or no on that one after this. Thanks. It has been a treat today to serve as your guest host and to interview Ryan Zinke, Taylor Brown here. And Ryan, we had a text question coming off the line here. We already know the answer to this question, but I'd appreciate a thought on it. The question is, would you have voted in favor of the congressional investigation into the Trump desecration of the Capitol? So by saying that, you know where the question's coming from, but your thoughts on the whole issue.
I won't waffle, Taylor. The answer is no, and I tell you why. Is that one, I think an insurrection is a term you have to use very, very carefully. But the bill didn't address the issue itself. You had an assault, you might recall, on the White House earlier from Lafayette Park. They were staging every night in Lafayette Park. The president pushed the perimeter out, and they venerated those individuals and renamed the park from Lafayette Park BLM Plaza. So tell me how an assault in the White House is not destruction of public property, vandalism, riotous activity. And I can tell you the assault on the Capitol was vandalism. It was riotous activity. It was destruction of government property. Those people should be pursued and they should be prosecuted. But what about the towns and businesses that were burned across this country in riot? And in some cases, those were promoted. So I don't like the idea of destruction of government property. I honor peaceful protests. Absolutely. Where you cross the line as soon as you vandalize, as soon as you become riotous, as soon as you destroy government property and put lives at risk, that's where the line is. So no, I didn't like the bill. Because I don't think it addressed the core issue of looking at everything else. I think it was a political tool, and they should be ashamed.
That is kind of the problem. Those things become a political tool, more important than what they're actually being written for. Ryan, this has just been fun.
So I didn't waffle on that. I don't think I waffled.
Nope. That was clear enough. I think that was clear enough that your thoughts there.
Well, that's what you get when you get with Ryan Zinke. You listen, but I get things done.
We got about a minute left. Whatever you want to cover, I think people are probably interested to know what's up for you next and what happens now that you're into this. What's ahead for Ryan Zinke?
You know, I'm gonna go around Montana. I'm going to listen because I think leadership is both articulating the message and listening. So I'm going to float the rivers. I'm going to tour Montana, both east and west, north and south. This summer and enjoy. I've never heard anyone suggest that Billings looks like Ireland. But I'm gonna let you go on that one.
It's when you look out and see those rim rocks and they're green. That only happens like for 2 days out of the year. And then it dries out and that's over.
Well, and I'll be in Billings, I think, on the 16th. But, Billings is one of the most desirable cities to live in America. I was reading Whitefish is the most friendly, right? Billings was ranked very, very high on affordability and schools, and good on Billings.
If you get over next week, please stop in. I know Tom would like to see you. Eric would love to meet you. Brian would love to see you here on the News Network. Come in next week if you get the chance. Thanks to Ryan Zinke joining us today. You've been listening to Voices of Montana, the statewide talk show, and I'm Taylor Brown. A thrill to have you on with us today. We'll be back tomorrow. I think Tom Schultz will be back tomorrow, so you'll get the real deal. Have a great day from Northern Broadcasting. I'm Taylor Brown.